See, you've got to get over and be able as a Christian to separate what God accepts and what he don't. The precious has got to be taken out of the midst of the refuse and vile. He said, then you'll be as my mouth. I'll anoint you to speak as my oracle then. And says, let them return to thee. Let them mimickers in that old dead church and that dead preacher. Don't go over there and fool with them. Let them return to you, but don't you go to them. That's exactly, ladies and gentlemen, what we're doing. The Holy Ghost has given us direction through the Word of God. I'm not going out there and mucking with these guys that's dead, perverting God's Word, corrupting God's holiness. God said they profane my holiness, which I love. Therefore, O shepherds, I'm against you. And I'll rend my flock out of your mouth that they'll not be meat for you any longer. Because you have clothed you with a wool. You've eaten the fat you've taken from my flock. But you're like a dumb dog. Isaiah 56 and verse 10 says, his watchmen are blind. They're ignorant. They're all dumb dogs sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. They're greedy dogs that can never have enough. They're shepherds that cannot understand. They look for their own ways. They look for their own gain from their own quarter. They're not looking after God's sheep because he said, my sheep, you've killed them, but you've fed yourselves. The disease you haven't strengthened. You haven't healed that which is sick. You haven't bound up that which is broken. You haven't sought that which was lost. You haven't brought again that which was driven away, but with force and cruelty you ruled over them. Therefore, I'm against the shepherds. Jesus warned, he lifted his voice as a prophet of God, warning the people of the results of their reckless behavior. You glorify Moses, he said, but you don't keep the law. He said, me you honor with your lips, but your heart is removed far from me. For you have put the traditions of men above the commandments of God to keep. That's the way it is among God's people today. But God's got to have men and women that are driven by something outside and beyond themselves. In closing, let me give you some of the words of this great weeping prophet. In Jeremiah 20 and verse 9, he said, I'll not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. See, Jeremiah was so oppressed. He was so persecuted and maligned till he got so discouraged. He said, Lord, I resign as a prophet. But what happened to him? The same thing that happens to any man or woman of God that is driven and compelled by the Holy Ghost. He said, his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I couldn't quit. I couldn't stay.
Praise God. I know that's wonderful.
He turned his resignation in, but he had to go down and knock again on God's door and said, give it back to me, Lord. I can't quit. I've got your word in me. It's burning me up inside. I've just got to do it. I'm compelled and driven. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You might as well tell a rooster to quit growing as tell a man that's really anointed of God to shut up and quit preaching a message, even if it means a guillotine.
Amen, brother.
It'll drive him right to the fire, the torture chamber, or the guillotine. It's got to be preached. And the Lord knows when a message has to be preached, he has to build a fire in your bones. If you don't, you'll quit because of the pressures that come against you. Oh, Lord God, I got so much more. Don't want to keep you beyond your point of no return. Praise the Lord. Let me give you a couple more scriptures, though, in closing here. It's two that's too wonderful. Too wonderful. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, brother. Lord, it's wonderful.
In Acts 13, 40 and 41, Jesus Christ warned his disciples through the Apostle Paul, or the Holy Spirit, rather, and says, take heed lest that come upon you which is written in the prophets. Behold, you despisers and wonder and perish, For I work a work in your days which you will in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. See, God chooses men to come out and be an example, to be an oracle of God, to minister with the ability that God gives. That man's prepared before his mother's ever born. He has to have a mother and a father that's chosen before he's ever born. Amen. God visited my mother long before I was ever born and told her, one of your sons will be a prophet of God. She didn't know what it meant. For years, I didn't know what it meant either. Prophet, what's one of them things? I always thought of a long, whiskered old fellow with a robe and didn't eat nothing but roots and something or other, you know. And I thought, Lord, that's terrible. Herbs. Praise God. Armadillos or whatever you can get. Praise God. But God said they won't believe it though a man declare it unto them. The apostle was driven. Paul the apostle was exhorting the men of Israel to take heed lest that which was written in the Old Testament should come upon them, that the prophets had written them of the judgments of God. That man went on driven relentlessly. And let me give you some of his last words here before we quit. I don't know nothing in the Bible that's more inspiring. Verse 24. The Holy Ghost has moved and given a message or a prophecy to this great apostle through another. He said, only bonds and afflictions abide me, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear that I unto myself that I may finish my course with joy. Finish. In the ministry which I've received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And then on the 13th verse of Acts 21, the next page, the Holy Ghost prophesied again through a certain prophet named Agabus that he would be bound in Jerusalem and delivered into the hands of the Gentiles in chains. Listen to what his response was in the 13th verse. Then Paul answered, what mean ye to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. He meant it. He meant it. We can prove it. In 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, verse 7 and 8, he said, now he's in jail. He's in Rome. He's still bound. He'd lived in chains for years and in prisons. He said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. I've finished.
Praise the Lord. Wonderful.
I've finished. Wonderful. Something drove him until he broke the tape like an Olympic runner.
When he broke the tape, he crossed the finish line, he said, whoopee, I've finished my course. Something drove me to this.
Hallelujah. He said, I'm now ready to be offered. I'm now ready. The time of my departure is at hand. I'm going to be killed. My life is going to have to be given. Praise the Lord. But he says, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day. And not to me only, but also all that love his appearing. He'd finished his course. He kept the faith, and that was what counted. He kept the trust, in other words, that God had put in him. See, God trusted Paul. Paul didn't just trust God. Paul was one among many of preachers in his day that God had called and put a full trust, a commitment in, and given him that drive and compelling spirit and that motivating power upon him, that anointing. That, you know what was inside of that man, though? That was a love. From men, that he says, I've become all things to all men, that if any by any means I might by all win some. I've got to reveal the mystery of Christ which I've received. I've got to preach the mystery of the kingdom of God and all these mysteries that God had unveiled to him. He was responsible for them, and he knew if he did not be faithful to that calling, to that anointing, to that vision, that heavenly vision, that had given him that motivation and that drive, that he said the blood of men would be on his hands in that day of judgment. He said in Acts 20 and verse 21,